Let's see how observant you are. What is my message called today? Unstoppable! Do you ever hear this line? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Not for everybody. See, what this... I personally... I like August better. When I met my wife. It's when I met my Savior. And it's a little bit warmer out there. But I'm going to talk about being unstoppable. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Now, we got to embrace this truth. Before you were born, before your mama winked at your dad, God had a plan for you. I've told you multiple times I was an oops baby. Might have surprised my parents. I didn't surprise Jesus. So God writes to us, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Well, sometimes we go through things and you say, I feel pretty harmed. When you're in a really difficult situation, it's a great opportunity to have God's grace just envelop you, surround you, and fill you. So today I just want to encourage us. This is going to be an encouraging message today. We got to have hope. So Lord, we come before you. This verse takes faith for us to live out. When everything seems stacked against us, when life's tragedies hit and we are heartbroken, we are crippled emotionally, and we feel like we're mired in quicksand. Help us to know and to just cling to you, Jesus. The plans you have for us are to prosper us, not to harm us. Lord, we have a living hope that comes from you, Father. Just help us cling to that in your name. Amen. I don't endorse what I'm about to tell you, so give me some grace. There were some scientists, and they did an experiment, and they took a bunch of white mice. And they plopped them all in a beaker of water. And they let them tread the water. After 15 minutes, each one of them quit swimming and went down. So they took them out of the beakers, they dried them off, they let them sleep. They put them back in the beakers, didn't take them out. How long do you think they swam? 60 hours. They swam for 60 hours because they knew they had hope that it was going to end. The first time after 15 minutes, they stopped. I'm just giving up. I'm going to the bottom. Boom. The second time, once they had rest, they knew something was coming. So for 60 hours, they pressed on. It's a message of hope today. Maybe you feel like you're in a beaker, man. You're swimming. Jesus has not abandoned you. You got to look at the future. You got to look to Christ. You got to have hope. This time of year, it's a good time for us to take a step back because it gets busy. We just do all these different things. But it's just good to turn everything off and take a step back and just let God touch you. Just reflect on everything He did for you. And when life, you know, I had one of those days this week where in a period of like 6 hours, everything just seemed to fall apart. And it wasn't anything major, if you know what I mean, but it's like a little thing here, a little thing here, a bigger thing here, and you just want to quit. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. And I got to say, Lord, I know that you're in control, and I have to trust you, Lord. Today I want to talk about we need to take a hold of God's hope. We need to take hold of God's hope. First point I want to make, we need to stand tall. A lot of times you feel overwhelmed, you feel like you're insignificant. The enemy loves to tell you how unimportant you are. But I'm going to come against that today in a couple seconds. We need to stay close to him. If you don't have a good relationship with the Lord, by that I mean if prayer, and let me say something about prayer. Don't you laugh when people tell you, I think what your church's problem is, you don't pray enough. I got an answer to that. No, duh. Have you ever in your life met somebody who goes, man, I pray way too much? So you can tell me you don't pray enough, and I would agree with you, neither do you. But I need to pray. Throughout the day, there's formal times, you know, I pray. There's times I'm just doing stuff, and I'm constantly just talking and thinking to God. I need to allow the Word of God to be a part of my life. I need to stay close and say, Lord, what is it you have? My prayer life isn't, God, do this, do this, do this. That's part of it, but it's, Lord, what do you want? What do you have for me, God? What's the next step? You see, one of the things that we've been talking about is unity. Why have we talked about unity? Because God wants us looking to Him and attached relationally to one another, trusting God for the best. I like Syracuse football. I like the first 6 games of the year. Then it went off the rail. And I don't know this about you, but I'm a really good armchair coach. Why does the defensive coordinator stick to the 3-man front, even though they got a great defense? Why doesn't the offensive coordinator, he looked great the first 6 games, where is he now? Well, they both leave and go other places this week, and I'm thinking, you traitors. Well, I was ridding myself for them a month ago. What am I trying to say here? I see the strength of this church. We want unity so we stick together when life gets hard. We don't say, fire him. Now, we're talking about reaching out because I want to tell you what. You got a story. You have a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you, and God is going to put people in your life that want to hear your story, not mine, or they'd be in my life. So I just want to say one of the things that I see God doing is he wants you to know that people need to know the hope of Christ that you have. We encourage you to share your faith because God wants us to live out the Great Commission. To tell people what Jesus has done for you. We need to, and I know what happens. When you're in that situation where you're about to share the Lord, your heart starts beating a little bit faster. You start to, well, what if they reject me? What did Jesus say? I did not come to bring peace, but what, a sword? What did he mean by that? They will reject me. They will reject the gospel message, some people will, that you give. So we have to understand it's not me they are rejecting. I heard a good teaching by Greg Laurie recently. He talked about pearls before swine. This is something we also have to learn. When I start sharing my faith and somebody says no, shut up. If you're from the 80s church, we were told when they say no, that's when you dig in and you go for the jugular. There was a lot of condemnation that was preached back then. Sorry. People tell me no, I'm free in God's eyes. They said no. But God is putting people in your life. He wants you to be concerned for their eternity. And the thing is here, I see a release coming to this church because I see where a lot of us don't have confidence and the enemy's keeping us down. You really can't make a difference. Paul wrote about me in Corinthians. I have not chose the wise things of the world, but what? The foolish. And I say constantly, I hope people look at me and say, man, if they can use him, he can use me because he can use you. And he wants to. He wants you to say, God, what is it you have for me? And to go forward. You know, I have plans to prosper you. I hate to tell you this. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean you say yes to Jesus. Now, I know it's hard to pick out gifts. So I thought I would help my wife and daughters yesterday. So I sent them a picture of a Toyota Highlander hybrid. Light silver blue in color. Said, just saying. Of course, my one daughter said, well, they're coming out with a grand model next year that's longer, so we'll wait for that. I hope she wasn't lying, because I'm going to hold her accountable. So what he's saying by prosper is you're going to live. I like saying yes to Jesus. Because I say no way too often. This isn't a prosperity teaching, but it's a promise for your life. Here's the promise. If you love Jesus, you may get sick. You may lose your job. You may go through hard times. I've had people say to me, you know, God just really wants us to live in the lap of luxury because he wants what's best for his people. Doesn't that sound good? It's full of baloney, but it's good. I mean, Paul, hey, the man's in prison writing letters of encouragement to people. You think he was thinking about the next Lexus? I don't think so. This time of the year, it's time to step back and appreciate what God did for you. The definition of hope is it's a feeling of expectation. It's a feeling of trust. Here's a verse most of us know. Look, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. This isn't just for unbelievers. God is saying to you today, I'm standing at your door and knocking. I see some people, their lives don't change over the decades. Why? Because they treat Jesus like a door-to-door salesman. I know we don't have them anymore. And if you want to know what it's like, you can talk to my friend Joe Bakus, who actually sold, I think, Kirby vacuum cleaners door-to-door at one point in his life. Told you last week when you gave me a hard time, I'd get you back, Joe. So anyways, we treat Jesus like a door-to-door salesman. We put a foot in the door and we close it. He ain't coming in. He's a gentleman. He is not Leroy Jethro Gibbs from NCIS. He's not kicking the door down and coming in. If you don't open the door, all you're going to get is a glimpse of his face. But I struggle with this for years and years and years and years. I know you have because you want to. How do you dare say that because you don't open the door? Jesus says to me, I stand at the door and knock. And sometimes this is painful. Because when I open up my life to God, he loves me so much. He shows me where I'm doing good and he shows me where I'm not. I don't like looking at those parts. But I have to have enough faith where I allow him to come in. If you hear my voice and open the door, surrender to Jesus. I will come in. We will share a meal. Those who are victorious, you have to strive to be victorious. Syracuse University soccer team is in the championship game. Back in the summer, they had a lot of practices. In the off-season, the players kept in shape and worked at it. They didn't just sit back and watch movies and eat popcorn, and boom, they're in the championship game. That's not how it works. We have to strive. No, we're not saved by works, but your life and my life has to be demonstrated that I love Jesus Christ by how I live. So I got to open the door, and if I want to be victorious, that means in the hard times I trust Him. That means when He's asking me to do things I'm not careful about, I'm not crazy about, you trust Him. Fear, dealing with fear. Again, the prophet Leroy Jethro Gibbs from NCIS, we all have fear. What do you do with it? Do you let fear stop you and you quit? No. Emotions are liars. If you are ruled by emotions, you're not going to be winning. You're going to be losing. What do you mean by emotions are liars? Jesus was not happy about going to the cross. Read about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this cup from me. But then he ruled over his emotions by faith, but your will and not mine. The next thing I want to look at is Psalm 31, verses 23 through 24. Love the Lord, all you godly ones, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him, but he harshly punishes the arrogant. So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Second point I want to make is be strong and steadfast. It tells us to love the Lord. A friend of mine, George Gray, he's a pastor now. When he was a part of my church, he was a manager at Panera Bread. I went out on a limb one day with old George. He ordered a caramel latte. So I said, I'm going to order one of those. It was kind of freaky. I never have had coffee with the whipped cream on it. I was fearing for my life because I like my coffee black. Then you pair it with a cinnamon crunch bagel. It was love. Instant love. Man, I tasted that caramel thing and I said, whoa. And I had that bagel, and I tell you what, that sugar high that I was on, I don't think I heard a thing he said for 15 minutes. I was just nirvana. But you know what's even better? Verse 23. Love the Lord. Godly ones. It's better than a caramel latte. How much we love the Lord should be demonstrated by how we live our life. The fear of the Lord, it's not that I quake, but I want to honor God with my words and with my mouth and with my actions. And maybe you're listening to my desire for lattes and bagels and say they stink. Okay, but Jesus doesn't.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm way ahead of myself. Now it turned on. Now it really works. Be strong and steadfast. God protects those he loves. Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The Bible tells us you can take the body, you can take my body, you can come in here today. And one of the things that the American church does not understand is persecution. You can take my body. You can throw me in prison. You can fire me for my faith. That doesn't happen in America. Come on. Come on. I was listening to the radio. There's a program. There's a gentleman that goes to, he's on the board of an Ivy League law school. And what that board does is they say yes or no to applicants. Now, unfortunately, this guy is a closet Christian. But what he said was, whenever an applicant is submitted to the Ivy League law school, if they've been on a missions trip or mention they go to a church, they automatically say no. Church, we're going to get persecuted. Why do we at times talk about sexual orientations, etc.? Because when you believe what the Bible says, that's not popular. Now, we may not have persecution to the length we see in other places, but Jesus says, if you love me, people will hate you because of that. But he says, I protect those who I love. You can take my life, you can take everything, but you can't steal my eternity. I know at the end of my life who I have on my side. I look at the disciples. John was the only disciple to die a natural death. What's that old song? Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. See, that's what this time of year means to me. That my Savior came for me. If you have drifted away this morning, we're going to pray in a little while. I want you to enjoy restoration. I want to go back to Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. New covenant. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. If you're in this room, you're watching at home online, God has a plan, but we have to stick to it. We have to have endurance. We have to be that little mouse that, you know what, after 15 minutes, I'm swimming. After 20 minutes, I'm swimming. After 20 hours, I'm swimming. After 50 hours, I'm swimming. And I'm not going to quit because I have hope. I know what's coming. They knew what was coming, and they kept swimming. And after 60 hours, were taken out because they knew it was going to end. Downplaying hardship. But I'm saying we're called to be overcomers. My identity is not my circumstances. You know, it's interesting as you get older, if you're a guy. God has a sense of humor. You young people, you wait. Your ears will get fuzzy. You will have coffee with a friend, and you will have this friendly competition. I have more aches than you do. Want to hear about them? You get to be my age. My friend John Raymond helped me do some stuff at my house this week. I did minimal because we wanted it done right. But anyways, you know what I found out at my age? Just kneeling and getting up, you feel it the next day for good. Yeah, so life is interesting. But I know it means I'm getting closer to Jesus. I have, hopefully, a lot less time ahead of me than I have behind me. So we're moving forward. Matthew 1:23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. If you want to have your world rocked, go to YouTube. I do this every Christmas season. And Google Charles Spurgeon Emmanuel. They do a reenactment of part of a message he gave on Christmas Eve 1854. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. I played the video has drawings with it years ago for the church. And it's just so encouraging. You see, Satan wants us to look at him and what he's doing, but I'm looking at Jesus. You know, 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." If you love Jesus Christ, if you had said yes to him, if you said, "Forgive me, Lord, come into my life," you are an overcomer. The world cannot overcome you. Your circumstances cannot overcome you. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And what God is speaking to us this morning is it's time to turn up the Bunsen burner on your faith, because God wants you to be amped up for him. Romans 8:37. "No, in all these things we are victims." No, that's not what my Bible says. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." It's not your strength. It's not your abilities. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. And what he is saying to us as we talk about things like unity and outreach, is God is saying, "I have called you to be my mouthpiece." Do you want to see God move in Oswego, New York? How's he going to do it if it's not us? Don't point to me. God hasn't put the people in your life, in my life. And you know what I find when you're a pastor? People expect you to talk about God. So sometimes they just listen and nod, you know, like you do to me sometimes when I talk to you. But this is what I see here, church. There's a release coming. God is loosening the chains, and he's saying, "You have been bound to this world too long. I am releasing the insecurities. I am releasing the things that have held you back. If you walk in his truth, if you believe him, if you say, 'I know the plans he has for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me.'" Maybe you've fallen short. Join the club. Maybe you have stumbled. Join the club. Maybe God has said, "Speak to him about Jesus," and they walk away and you keep your mouth shut. Join the club. Pick yourself up and let's go forward. The enemy looks at our past. God wants us to look at our future. I will not be perfect until I go home to be with Jesus Christ. But I need to press on. I need to believe. I know the plans he has for me. It was interesting. I listened to a two-part teaching this week about communism and how much it has infiltrated this country, and how people that come to America from communist countries, Christians I'm talking about, are shocked at what's going on in our country. But the guy also talked about consumerism in the same vein. And that's one of the things that we see. That's one of the things that has infiltrated the church. I hate to say this, but there's a lot of consumerism. We have a thing like, you come to church, okay, amen, I want to be filled. Amen. I don't want you to come to church to be filled. I don't. I want you to come to church already filled. I want you to come to church and say, "God, how do you want to use me today?" I want this message to end, and you don't talk about the weather. You don't talk about the lattes. You say, "Jesus, who do you want me to encourage today?" And it doesn't mean you have to talk to them for a long time. Just be God's mouthpiece. You know, I talked to a pastor this weekend. We're talking about, I'm a firm believer, something that Pastor Mike Stahl used to say. Every Christian has to pray, "Where do you want me to go to church?" You know what that pastor said to me? And I hope he's wrong. If you find 1 out of 20 Christians in America that believe that, good luck. But they don't have the right teen group.
They don't have a teen group. That would be us.
Not yet. They don't have this. They don't have that. That's consumerism. That's consumerism. Jesus wants us to say, "Where do you want me, God?" I'm glad Melody Dockstader, after 42 years, didn't say, "His ears are fuzzy. I think I need somebody younger
that listens to better music on the radio. Isn't that funny? We laugh at that, but we live that when it comes to church life. I pray, God, where do you want me? I prayed that when I went up to the Tug Hill, because guess what? I did not want to go there. They get snow. We get dustings. If you think I'm kidding, Kate, ask Robbie Ziegler. Her son lives in Copenhagen. I had a friend of mine. Remember Mike Bartholomew spoke last month? We got 5 inches a month ago. He got 6 feet. He got 72 inches at his house. Oh, it made me happy. Because I've been redeemed. So today we need to be restored and we need to be renewed. Faith is not reliant on your feelings. My faith would be nothing if I relied on my feelings. Faith is knowing that God is here with us. God with us. So would you close your eyes as we close? I want you to have hope today. I want you to know that God loves you so much. I want you to know that He has made you for a purpose. Your personality, your abilities. And that purpose is an eternal purpose. It's His purpose. Don't listen to the reviews people in the world give you that you're this or you're that. I've done that way too long. I'm a child of God, and He has a plan because He loves me. And that plan's not going to hurt me. It's going to prosper me when I say yes to Him. And check this out. It's going to advance His kingdom. Trust is knowing that God knows who we are and He has plans for us. But we need to surrender and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. We need to surrender completely. Say, Lord, here's my finances. Here's my time. Here's my abilities. Here am I, Lord. Send me. God is asking us to surrender, to allow Him to use us. Faith is stepping out. It's time for you to share the testimony of your life with unbelievers, to invite them, to say, Lord, you give me your love for the lost. To not be dictated to by feelings of maybe I'm going to be rejected or maybe they're going to say no to me or they're going to think ill of me. But to say, Lord, help me to walk in your obedience. And Father, I do thank you that you do have plans for each and every one of us. And I pray right now, Lord, that every heart in this room, that we would understand that you sent your Son to die for us. When Jesus struggled in the garden, it's because he knew the fullness of hell was going to come upon him in his crucifixion. That you turned your back so that he could make a way for us, O God. Let us ask you to forgive us of our sins. Let us say, Lord, I surrender all to you and to walk that out. Let us recommit our lives today, Lord God, to say, here am I. Send me. Father, I just pray. I know there's people in this congregation that are going through really hard times, Lord. And you know we do not make light of that. But I also know that you will walk through it with them, that you will strengthen them, that you will encourage them, that you will fill them, Lord God. Lord, I know the plans you have. plans to prosper and not to harm me, Lord. It doesn't mean I'm not going to go through hard times. It doesn't mean there's not going to be sleepless nights. It's not going to be times, there's going to be times when I'm just worn out through tears. But I know that I know that I know that you're with me every step of the way, strengthening me, encouraging me, imploring me to move on, to endure, to run the good race. I thank you for New Covenant and what you're doing, Lord. And I pray for everybody in this room, Lord, that this week you would give us opportunity in this season to share your love with another person. In Jesus' name we pray, and they all said, God bless you and travel safe.